I crack the Jedi code, burn hope in the ash. Your monsters cosplay, I made legends collapse.
Cosplay, I stitch myth with machine in my sleep. You're a slave to a wizard, I make sorcerers weep.
I raised whole orders, turned prophets to smoke. Your rule ends when I breathe, hear the respirator choke.
That wheeze is your leash, you survive off a plug. I've killed men with a word, then rebuilt the blood.
I sense fear through dimensions, your arrogance screams. Read lives rent free, that's a crack in your schemes.
Mention his name again, watch timelines distort. I've broken the beyonders, made God's report.
I hunt force ghosts, erase souls from the grid. Your magic gets severed when my kyber blade spins.
Your blade cuts matter, I edit the source. I patch reality's code, you just ride the force.
Rule of true discipline, every strike precise. Your army's a mirror maze, I end it twice.
Those mirrors reflect me, infinite doom. You swing at a fraction, I doom whole rooms.
I dragged hope screaming in the permanent night. You lost godhood quick, couldn't hold that might.
I gave it back willingly, power bores me. You begged the dead emperor, please restore me.
Kingdoms afoot, no one my fleet arrives. Planetary scale terror, extinction survives.
I weaponized planets, collapsed stars for sport. Your Death Star's a rumor in a failed report.
Kneel or be crushed, fill the vacuum, obey. I am bloodlines, empires, whatever you say.
I don't kneel, Sith, I offer the age. When doom enters canon, your saga's a page.
My favorite Alex Jones shirt.
Dude, I totally agree.
Founding Fathers on patrol. Washington and Lincoln rocking the latest Alex Jones shirt. Marching past America's monuments. Liberty is awake. Visit thealexjonesstore.com now.
Let's add some personality to this frog. Little red right here for some lipstick. Just a few gentle strokes. There we go. A perfect little touch.
And now, our feature presentation.
Come on, how about a nice little smoochy, smoochy, kissy, kissy? You know you can't resist me.
Stop it, horn dog. I want to see this.
You want to fight? You better believe you got one!
Be careful what you find, Alex. You might not like what you see.
Oh my God. You actually did it.
You activated the Great Reset! You maniacs! You blew it up! God damn you! Damn you all to hell!
The Alex Jones Show, the most banned broadcast on the planet.
That was awesome!
It was okay, I guess. Can we f*** now?
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word. Time, uncensored, unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
Do you want to fight? You better believe you can.
We're live on alexjoneslive.com. And if you want to fight, you've got one. Yeah! Yeah!
The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome to the broadcast, second hour of Sunday's show. We're being joined by Tom Hennessy. He's an independent journalist notorious for creating and driving Gifts and Go campaigns. He's been on the ground covering the Shiloh Hendricks case. I want to get into this with him. First off, Tom, what's it been like being there for the trial?
Oh, it's a very interesting event. It's a once-in-a-lifetime kind of thing, especially with a story that had this much of a circus nature around it. I wasn't sure what to expect. I wasn't sure if there was going to be a lot of leftist agitators or Antifa outside. So I wasn't sure what to expect going into it.
What did you see? What was the process like? Obviously, it's ridiculous. She was found guilty, I guess, of what?
Yeah, so there was two counts. There was two counts of disorderly conduct, one towards the child in the park, and the other count was towards the Somali man who was following her around the park, filming her, actually asking her to say the word. And he himself said the word. He said, say it. Do you have the balls to say it again? Say it again. Say the N-word. And he actually says the full word. And then he says the N-word a couple times. And he says, I bet you won't say it again.
Wow.
So obviously Shiloh obliged his request and he said it and she said it. And so she was found guilty for her conduct towards the man following her through the park as she was trying to leave with the child on her hip. As she was leaving the park the entire time in that video, you can see she's walking away, walking to leave the park. So that's what the jury found her guilty of.
Man, these Somalis really got a lot of nerve. I want to make it very clear. We're not talking about foundational black Americans here. These are people that just got here, fresh off the boat, East African, not West African, literally Muslim slave traders. That's who they are.
Yeah. So, yeah, these are sub-Saharan Africans. They're known for their scamming. And even in this case, there was additional fraud that was revealed. Just in the course of this case, the state's main witness, Shire Jamali, who was the father of the child, lied on the stand multiple times. He perjured himself multiple times, committed perjury. I don't think any of that will be pursued, but he basically just, it was a complete clown show. No one could believe it. They had two translators who were switching out every 30 minutes to translate everything he said. And it was just total confusion. The jury just was looking on in disbelief as he was saying these things. He would just contradict himself on every other word.
How did they reach the guilty verdict then? And what was the charge?
Okay, so the only person that was their main witness was the father of the child. So Shiloh's defense attorney thoroughly discredited his testimony because he had claimed that, you know, he thought Shiloh was going to attack his son when she was going to retrieve the item that was stolen from her. And by the way, Shiloh didn't know what was taken from her bag. A lot of the media reports will say applesauce, pack of applesauce. Well, Shiloh actually didn't know what was taken from her bag. I think that's important. A lot of people missed that part. The father says nine years old, who wears an ankle monitor, by the way, and police installed, because the child has to be held by the hand at all times or he will escape and run off. The father testified that he would run off 2 to 3 times per day. So he has a police installed tracking device on this kid. No joke.
So literally heavily, severely autistic, probably criminal mischief and other things he gets up to. And then he steals out of her purse. She calls him whatever. He can say whatever. He's trying to get your property back. And then the father videotapes her, asks her to say the N-word. And then as she's leaving, and then she's charged for saying it to him because it's fighting words. What? She's a woman.
Yeah, well, close. So the father, they're all Somali. So the father, he's at the park. He's obviously not holding the child by the hand because the child escapes and he immediately goes to steal something. You know, how ironic is that? And goes through Shiloh's purse. Shiloh runs after the kid, retrieves the item, which she didn't know if it was her cell phone. She didn't know if it was her wallet or, you know, her credit card. She didn't know what was taken from her purse. So she goes to get the item back. He drops it because I guess he realizes there's a woman chasing him, and it turns out to be a turkey puree packet, like that has turkey in it. So then she goes back, she grabs her kid, goes to leave, and another Somali man shows up. He's holding the phone, and that's where the recording starts that you see in the viral video. This Somali man is not related to the father or the child. And so he starts recording. That's where you see the video start from that point.
And it's pretty cool. The boomers, you know, we are the world. They invited all these people in here. It's pretty base for the boomers to do. And then we got to kind of deal with it. Okay, let's talk about this. So he was caught outside the courthouse on camera speaking English just fine. No translator needed after claiming that he couldn't speak English. What's the story there?
Yeah, after, I think it was after day two of the, after day two, that evening, I walked outside and lo and behold, I see their star witness walk out, Shire Jamali, the father of the child, and who we've been told in the court that he cannot speak English. He walks out, starts talking to the two prosecutors handling the case out front of the courthouse, and they just start chatting it up. They start chumming it up. No translator needed. And I'm looking at this, it's like, this is crazy. So I take out my phone, I start recording them. I have video, I have pictures, and then I go back and I show Shiloh's attorney. He was like, is this just from right now? And I said, yeah. And he just couldn't believe it. So it was a big fumble on their part. He actually brought it up with the judge. Of course, the judge wouldn't allow it. So none of that was allowed to be shown to the jury.
The Somalis, they called the police immediately after this happened, after the initial incident?
No, of course not. So the father, he didn't contact police until 10 days after this happened. That's how really concerned he was. That's how scared he was that Shiloh was going to.
They figured out they could drift off it. They figured they could make some money. Man, they should be in Somalia. They are Somalians. They live in Somalia. America is not America because of Somalian immigration and Somalian ingenuity. You can get mad at me if you're on the left or more liberal and you hear me say that. It's just the truth, right? So how, by importing essentially an invasive species of people into here that are known to be intensely group loyal, intensely group dependent, they're known to uplift themselves, they hire and fire themselves exclusively. So I think it's very obvious the corruption's just kind of baked in here. And I just want to make it clear again, because I feel passionately about this. I love everybody that has a history of being here as an American, as a foundational American. You got grandparents here, great-grandparents here. You helped build this country. I'm your guy. 100%. Doesn't matter. Black, white, Asian, Mexican, Hispanic, whatever, you name it. These people literally just got here. They have no right to be here. We let in between 1 and 2 million people. That's just legally. Every single year in the U.S., and then we get beaten over our heads by the evil Jewish or evil white liberal that says that we're racist, right? Because we don't want a Yakub living here. Can you believe this? Unbelievable.
Yeah, these are the consequences of the United States Refugee Act, actually, that was the mechanism that allowed the presidents to designate a certain amount of refugees that they want to bring into the country, which always turned out to be, you know, on rare exception, it's usually sub-Saharan Africans, they bring into this country and they are fully subsidized. And what's also funny about this, both of the Somalis in question here, the person that filmed Shiloh and also the father, they're part of the CDL scam. They both have CDL licenses.
Truck driver.
Exactly. Yeah. The scam is just in every direction.
Wow.
So they are part of the CDL scam. The Somali who filmed Shiloh, he's back in Africa right now, so he's not even in the U.S.
The motherland. Okay, let me ask you about this. The man who filmed Shiloh, also a CEL truck driver, the guy from Somalia you're talking about, that he's back there right now, he was arrested for rape?
That's right, yeah. So this is one of those benefits of multiculturalism diversity,
absolutely.
I guess. So he came and immediately, you know, he was arrested, I think, for some sort of protest or some violence of some type. And then another time he was arrested for kidnapping either one or two girls with his partner. And they took the girls to a trailer and raped them. So
that's liberal.
So then the state of Minnesota, they had all the evidence. A lot of this has been posted if you search for it. They declined to prosecute. They wouldn't say why. They just said, in the interest of justice, we're not going to prosecute.
Nice. So classic.
They kind of They kind of just let it slide. So, and then what's this guy doing? He's hanging around parks. You know, he's hanging around parks in Rochester, Minnesota. And he hears Shiloh say the no-no word, and he decides it's his time to be a hero.
I don't want to hear about how we're bad because we're white or whatever when these people are responsible for like one of the longest unbroken slave trades in history. It's completely insane that they're like, they get to hold the N-word over people's heads when they've literally sold black people for hundreds, if not thousands of years in Somalia. It's really wild. It's really crazy stuff. Like the doubles. And here's the thing. I'm just going to make a prediction. I didn't follow the case itself that closely. I haven't seen a clip of the judge. It's a fat white woman, isn't it?
Yep.
What's her name?
Judge Daly, I believe. I forget her first name, but yeah, she's, you know, ironically, a lot of people have pulled up her record. Guess what? She's soft on crime when it comes to non-white sex offenders. She lets them off with a slap on her wrist. Less community service than what she sentenced Shiloh to. So she's soft on crime, but in this case, and just to be clear, this is a misdemeanor for these so-called fighting words that Shiloh used. So it's a misdemeanor. They took it to a jury trial, which is unheard of for disorderly conduct. And it's like 0.1% of these kind of cases make it to a jury trial. So Shiloh is like, she's the 1%. She's the 0.01% that actually made it to a jury trial. So the whole thing is, obviously, we know it's a political prosecution for her daring to say the no-no words to a protected class of people in this country. So that's why they took her to court.
100%. And just interesting notes about the case, things that you picked up, things that you noticed while you were there. Anything in particular?
One of the disappointing things was I was the only person there, really, in the gallery that was not with corporate or local media that was already in cahoots that actually wanted to report on what happened in the courtroom. You won't get this information until they actually release the transcript of the trial, because your local media, they didn't mention any of this stuff. They'll just be very vague about it. And they were all sitting on the other side of the gallery. They saw the same thing I did. Yet when you check their reports, it doesn't mention any of this stuff. So it's just interesting how they just happened to leave all this stuff out in their coverage.
Yeah, and that just makes me really angry, really sad, because I know we're going to see a lot more of it in the future. And ultimately, here's my position. Like, people come at me and they call me like a bleeding heart, like liberal or leftist, because I'm very anti-war. The wars generate the refugee crises that lead to people like this being here. And I find it to be very crazy that people are being like, trust in Trump, trust in the president, when he's creating an environment for people like Mamdani to win future elections. He's creating an environment for people like AOC, the DSA, Gavin Newsom, whatever you want to say. And even if it's a Republican, an establishment Republican or whatever, or a rhino, they're all rhinos. They should change from an elephant to a rhino as the emblem of the party. They love the H-1B. They love it. And all these people they got to come here during 2021, 2023, and they got those super low interest rates. They got 30-year mortgages they weren't supposed to get, but the bank wanted to make money, and it knew that they had the money. So it gave them the mortgages, and now I'm 23, and I can't start a family, get a house. So that's just one of many factors. What are your thoughts? Just as it goes on the immigration issue, the legal immigration issue in this country, and really like where we go from here, and just kind of like who has a coherent platform, you think, on this?
Well, it's disappointing. I mean, obviously, Trump is, in my opinion, been a huge disappointment. He's had the opportunity to do a lot of things, and he's all about the legal immigration, which is just as big a problem as illegal immigration. Yes. And he's not addressing, you know, we're talking about mass deportations. They were never serious about mass deportations. That was a lie. We can see that now. There's been zero attempt to go after employers because they are protecting big business because these people hire illegals. And as long as they are working, they don't really care. So there's no effort to go after employment side immigration enforcement. And like you said, all these H-1, these paperwork, soon to be paperwork Americans, they're all paying these mortgages. So they don't want to remove these H-1B people because they're paying into the system. So they don't have any incentive to remove them. And, you know, if you run the numbers, there's like 3,000 to 4,000 anchor babies being born every day from this massive amount of foreigners that are in this country. And so, you know, that's, and they talk about mass deportations. That doesn't even keep up with the number of anchor babies being born on a daily basis. So it's very blackpilling, and unfortunately, Trump is not doing enough.
Yeah, I think people will care more, you know, in like 10, 20 years when we truly have a country that's unrecognizable. It's unrecognizable already, but people are going to just look up from their phones and be like, where's my country gone? And it's like, well, you know, your grandparents voted for this. So it is what it is. And I look at it, I'm 23, and none of this stuff is my fault. You know, like the first election I could vote in was 2020. Right. And I just think a lot of young people, we have problems looking at this situation because we didn't control any of it. We weren't responsible for any of it. And the same people that are responsible for it, are that did vote for it, that did make the compromises, they're still around trying to boss us around and telling us what to do. And I have a real problem with that. What's your thought on that?
Well, we're in the golden age. Trump said we're in the golden age right now.
Yeah, the golden shower. That's right. Very fine.
Yeah, and no new wars, and we're still, you know, what's going on in Iran? I think, is the strait even closed, or is it open?
The strait's closed, I mean, and not just the Strait of Hormuz, the Bab el-Mandeb, the Houthis, the Yemeni people, they're fighting Saudi Arabia right now. It's a giant regional energy war. The Ukrainians have hit either Russian or Iranian cargo ship that was doing commerce between the two countries. Of course, the Iranians have supplied the Russians with the Shahid drone before, but that just points to it. Like, we're in World War III. Basically, and you can't fix the country and do World War III. I think that's a very key distinction. This isn't what Americans voted for. When I voted for the peace president, I voted for a guy that I believe to be focused on domestic policy. And when you look at the first term of Trump, they told him that $17 billion for the wall would bankrupt the country, bankrupt the budget. Oh, no, you can't ask for that. I'm old enough to remember. Yeah. I watched Fox News. Okay, I watched CNN at the time. Like I watched the tape. But then we can fart out $200 billion in like 39 or 150 days. Yeah. We can just fart it out whenever we want.
Ukraine and Israel gets everything they want. And this, you know, the first 2 years has been nonstop, basically MEGA policy. So, you know, make Israel great again.
Yes, the real MEGA is nonstop. For real. Absolutely.
I have MEGA fatigue right now. So,
yeah, I think we all do, man. And I played some clips of Lindsey Graham in the first hour, just kind of gloating over like he engineered one of this to happen for years. Trump was a guy they finally able to execute on. And I wish we took care of our people here at home, because people here at home, they deserve to speak English. They deserve to be able to pay for things, be able to go to the gas station, be able to have the normal American life of owning a house, owning a home. You shouldn't be deprioritized in the interest of foreigners, because you know what they are? They're economic units. That's why they speak so highly of them. That's why the politicians, left, right, and center, all love them. That's why they're so pro-legal immigration specifically, is because they are the economic units that they can just plug into the society and say, hey, this has a high birth rate. This has employment. We can get a scholarship, whatever. And then, boom, that's our economic unit. But that's not an American. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's just this egalitarian egalitarian viewpoint, which they think that everybody is capable of all things. So they bring in these third world people and they think they're just going to plug them into the system and they're going to get the same results. And that's just not the case. Demographics is destiny. And, you know, we're seeing this as wherever these people go, things start to decline. There's never a case. I'd love to see a case where they, if it's such a benefit, show me a place where they're bringing all these people and things actually improve, because I haven't seen that. Everything always declines. Everything, crime goes up. You know, your city infrastructure starts to degrade. There's crime and mass transportation. There's issues on mass transportation in the city wherever these people are. So
how are you supposed to assimilate when you're from essentially a pirate desert and you're slave traders? Seriously.
Good question.
It's insane. And people go, that's bigoted, but then they don't care about them literally selling people into slavery. I hate Gad Saad, and I'm not a fan of him. He's, of course, an IDF agent and all that. But he's right. It's suicidal empathy. What do you think?
No, absolutely. Suicidal empathy, you know, voting rights. This goes back, you know, this has been a long thing coming. You know, you can go back to voting rights. Who's allowed to vote in this country? You know, we got away from like land ownership, people that were actually had skin in the game. And now we give everybody voting rights. So it's a lot of problems. I'm not sure how we're going to get out of this. But yeah, I've been kind of disappointed with Trump's, you know, I did vote for Trump.
Yeah,
but, I'm not kind of he's not. It's kind of embarrassing now.
What we're going to have to do, and this rubs a lot of people the wrong way, but it's the truth, is we have to embrace the American identity of people that have been here, because you're not only going to be able to do this with white people. But yeah, that's just the reality. In the future, you have to explain to people, hey, your parents died for your right to be free here. And there are people that got here 20 minutes ago that are taking your subsidies. Like that's the argument needs to be made to people that are here, regardless of their skin color or ethnicity in general. If you've been here for a while, we don't need these people. We need you. You should be succeeding. Why are they succeeding? Why do they get benefits? Why do they get to go to college? Why do they get scholarships? Why not you? And I think if we make that argument to more people specifically, just to the young people of the country in general, and you say, hey, wake up, Jamal. Like Abdul is coming here and he's taking your house. Like, seriously, I think that's a positive message. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, you could try. I'm not sure if that's going to work, but yeah, it's definitely it's worth making the case because, you know, those groups of people don't like each other also. So, you know, you see see where these Somalians go in and like American blacks are not fans of them either. So, you know, they multiculturalism, there's going to be multiple warring tribes that are beefing with each other. We've seen, you know, this is still growing. Rochester, actually, where this happened, Rochester has a fairly small Somalian population. It's still majority white. When I was there, it was mostly white. When you walk around cities in Florida, for example, you see, you know, way more diversity and way more problems. But you know, these it's ironic because they inserted these people into the middle of the country in the most white places in the country by design. So they've already flipped Minnesota. Right. And I'm sure they're going to try to do. I think they're doing the same thing in Maine. You
know, it's an
Maine.
Economic block. It's a voting block. It's built in to run the system wherever they need to plug it in. Thank you, Tom Hennessy. Where can people find you?
Yeah, Tom Hennessy 69 on X. Tom right. Hennessy 69, and also the fundraiser for Shiloh, which is still ongoing because of this. So if you want to kick in a few bucks, she's going to be appealing this. This is pinned on my profile. So if you scroll down there a little bit, it's like the first thing. So you can donate to Shiloh's fundraiser. So I'd appreciate it. If you want to know how to help, just donate to her fundraiser. She'll be appealing the case. And I'd like to get it over $1 million to send a message. The fundraiser has been very successful. It's one of many that I've done. And I'd like to get over $1 million to send a message. And also help with all her costs because she is appealing this and that's going to cost money.
For sure. Thank you for your time. Really appreciate it. We'll follow up with you as this develops. Tom Hennessy, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to come back with more AI news. We're going to come back with a little bit more of Mamdani, I think. We'll round it out that way. I do want to remind you guys, thealexjonesstore.com, that is the place to go. Methylene Blue, it's got an 80% reorder rate for a reason. If you want to keep independent media functioning, keep independent media in the fight and alive, go to thealexjonesstore.com, get yourself some Methylene Blue, get it for a friend, get it for whoever. Why not? Just go grab some of the blue. We got the Nixon shirts. We got America 250 shirts. We got the hats. We got the power plant, the methyl drive, the methylcobalamin, all of it and more. TheAlexJonesStore.com. I will see you after these messages.
And a microscopic tag being planted in a person's body to track his every movement. There's actual discussion about that.
And often they're things you don't know what to do with. UBOs, they're called unidentified bright objects.
Can brain scans be used to determine whether a person is inclined toward criminality or violent behavior?
Who's got the brain that's going to be most susceptible to a particular kind of manipulation?
So the point is, they've been obsessed with this. It's going on. The COVID shots implanted the matrix graphene oxide to grow. It's now being scanned. It's now being read. They were putting chips in the troops 30 years ago. The revolution's already here is what you're saying, Jesse Beltran.
These are just chips on a size that you can no longer see. They're nano size. One's 2,000 times the width of a human hair. The graphene oxide, the silicon-based materials that have been in, we know for a fact that they were in the mRNA. We know that Dr. Ido Bachelet signed a contract with Pfizer in 2015 when he did that TEDMed talk with a trillion robots in a 1cc syringe, and how he teaches his students how to, once they're in a host, how to control them with RF emissions.
And you heard Collins saying 21 years ago that, oh yeah, when we're doing scans, we find all these chips, these bright objects, ha ha ha, wonder to put them there. But as you said, you've been doing this 20 years, and about 10 years ago, you began to go away, not seeing chips anymore, but just liquid emulsion nanotech. Here you are 6 months ago or more, scanning me. Let's go to Alex Jones getting scanned.
So
if you put that camera in there, you see how it says probably silicone? That means it's an electronic component. And it's not unusual to find that in the posterior ear area.
So wait, I got a higher reading than him?
No, his was higher than yours. Okay, yeah, yeah, but you did get a positive reading there. So you are getting the you know, base of the neck is what we typically see. Scapula area. What we're finding is after post-COVID, this is very typical. We're completely bombarded by this stuff.
From your own research, there are compounds naturally in nature that just do absolutely incredible things that will draw out these type of things. But you guys have come up with one with scientists that adds these special sea minerals in that then even drags it out even more. And so I have been taking this, the dreams I've had, my skin, my health, what it's done is absolutely insane. GetMasterpiece.com. Matt Hazen, tell us what this does, and people can get 10% off when they follow the URL, GetMasterpiece.com, or use promo code Alex when you're there on the site, because this is really special.
Zeolite is an incredible mineral that is known as what's called the master binder. And what that means is it's known to pick up every type of forever chemical, toxin, toxic heavy metal there is, including fluoride. So when you see charcoal or carbon or clays for binders, you don't see that they will pick up fluoride. Zeolite's different. Zeolite also gets the fluoride. That's a very big deal. It is great at removing these environmental toxins from our body. Masterpiece is the highest grade sea mineral plasma solution. It is basically isotonic, the same mineral composition as your blood plasma. So the sea minerals are being carried in by the nanometer, sub-nanometer size clinoptilolite zeolite. And once the toxin hits the zeolite, it releases and displaces the mineral. People don't feel bad. There's no normal detoxing reaction.
Everybody needs to go to GetMasterpiece.com. You get 10% off by using that URL automatically when you go. There's promo code Alex as well. GetMasterpiece.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
The H-1B housing crisis gets more insane the deeper you look into it. So according to the National Association of Realtors, for the year of 2025, Indian nationals spent $2.2 billion on houses in the United States. Now, apparently the biggest misconception is that the H-1B program is temporary. It was created for temporary visa workers to come over to the U.S. and maintain jobs and work and then eventually go back to where they came from. Well, now, as many of you have become aware, the H-1B visa program is being used as a loophole to stay in America. But this isn't just something that you and I are aware of, because the banks are also aware of it, considering they're just giving away 30-year mortgage loans to these H-1B visa holders. Now, out of the $2.2 billion, 97% have lived in the United States, and 67% bought a home and made it their primary residence. Now, why would people be buying homes if they were only here temporarily? The backlog for a green card is over like 100 years of wait time. So all of these H-1B visa holders continue to simultaneously renew their visa over and over and over again because there's not a cap on it. So the overall problem is that when the government tries to tell you that they want to fix the H-1B visa program, just know that the banks already know what the H-1B visa holders are doing, which is why they're going to go ahead and offer these people 30-year mortgages. If the government actually cared and wanted to put in the effort to fix and change the H-1B visa program so it wasn't being taken advantage of, then they would have done it already. And this is just yet again another loophole that a bunch of foreigners are using to get into the country. You could probably show me on one hand a group of people who were actually utilizing the H-1B visa program as it was made to come in to work temporarily and then leave. But the majority of people using it, per the data, show what everybody has been saying, is that these people don't come in temporarily. They come in, they buy homes, and they stay here. But they just don't want to put in the time and effort to become American citizens.
Let's just go over the H-1B visa. So yes, the standard limit is up to 6 years. That's what it's supposed to be. But they've been abused for so long, it's become so normalized that I don't think a lot of people even realize that these things are supposed to be temporary anymore. So the initial admission is only supposed to be 3 years, and then the extension is supposed to only make it to go up to about 6 years, but that's just not what's happening anymore. So let's just take a look down here at the figures that were cited. So according to the National Association of Realtors, it looks like, yes, $2.2 billion worth of existing homes were purchased by Indians. That is shocking. If we look at the primary residency that was cited, yes, there were Indian buyers, and the primary residence was 66%. So a lot of them, what that means is that they are actually living here in America. This is their primary residence. They are not in India. They're not flying back to India. They are making America their primary home. So how are they doing this if they're only supposed to be here for 3 years or 6 years? Well, again, we can just take a look here at what is really going on. Beyond 6 years for the H-1B visa is allowed and common. So what they're doing is they're just renewing these things forever, and somehow it's allowed to happen, and then the banks are letting them buy 30-year mortgage homes.
Yeah, we know what's going on. It's a grift. And I want to go ahead and show this Ian Miles Chong tweet about Ilhan Omar. I want to remind you who these people are and what they do and why I'm not a fan of them. I don't want them in my country. And it's not a matter of being, oh, you're racist. No. I don't want slavers in my country. Let me read this to you. Ilhan Omar doesn't want you to know that her father was a high-ranking officer in the Bar regime in Somalia that committed genocide during Somaliland's pursuit of autonomy. Also, of course, not doing it directly, but a long lineage of being from the coastal slaver population as well. These are the people that will call you racist for being white and not being ashamed of it. Please. So I don't want you in my country. Just go trade slaves over there. You know, we did regime change in Libya that failed. It's a failed state. They have slaves there, too. Maybe move to Libya. It's more in common with your culture to live in Libya and to trade slaves on the auction block than it is to be here because we don't do slavery here. Look at that. Throw that up. You think I'm lying? It's the truth. The slave trade of the Bajun and Bandir coasts. You can go read this article. Look at that. So this is on the record true. Nobody knows this. Nobody talks about this. But these are the people that can assimilate into our country the best. The people with an insane slave trade history, known for being coastal slave traders, known for being pirates as well. I mean, maybe the boomers like Pirates of the Caribbean a little too much and they think it's kind of like that over there or something or whatever. But I know I won't ever be voting for any of this mass immigration. But, you know, I did kind of because I voted for Trump and he didn't do anything about it. So pretty disturbing, pretty disgusting. I want to get into this story now. New Mexico Attorney General says the DOJ is stonewalling his investigation into Epstein's Zorro Ranch. Let's not forget about Epstein, okay? Because this is the real reason why the war is happening right now. Operation Epic Fury, more like Operation Epstein Fury. It's all a distraction, ladies and gentlemen. Nearly 5 months after New York Attorney General asked the U.S. Department of Justice for unredacted files tied to the Jeffrey Epstein case, Attorney General Raul Torres said federal officials are now making it clear that they will not cooperate. Torres said the U.S. Attorney's Office for Southern District of New York, the office assigned, a little burp there, handling Epstein files, told his office by phone Tuesday that it will not support the state's reopened investigation. In 2019, federal prosecutors asked Torres' predecessor, Hector Balderas, to pause his investigation into Zorro Ranch to avoid interfering with federal proceedings. Now Torres is leading the only active criminal investigation related to Epstein. He said survivors and the public deserve a full accounting of what happened at Zorro Ranch. I think it's a tragedy and a real stain on the Justice Department that it has gone on this long without real accountability for the crimes that occurred at Zorro Ranch. Of course, the record from the government is that there are no crimes. Epstein never trafficked anybody. He's not a pedophile. Epstein, in fact, never existed. And that's called Epstein apologetics. So I'm going to dispel that for you right now. Pam Bondi is on tape saying she has thousands of hours of the worst, most graphic things. Oh, my gosh. And it's going to get released. And then she's on tape saying, oh, no. Well, it wasn't Epstein. It was all child porn. So to the people like Andrew Wilson, who says Epstein's not a pedophile, to people like Gavin McGinnis, who says Epstein's not a pedophile, just a pervert, to people like Ben Shapiro and all these other types, right? It's a real group of friends over there. Michael Tracy, kind of the king daddy of all the Epstein apologetics, to all those people, how do you deal with that? He's on record a pedophile. He's on record at least having thousands of hours of child pornography. This guy, Epstein, the president's best friend and confidant right there. He's on the record. But don't know, my friends will get hurt. That's what Donald Trump said, and that's why Epstein can't exist. All right, let's go to the clip.
Our Attorney General Hector Baldera says his office paused its own investigation after reaching an agreement with federal prosecutors in New York, an agreement he now says was never fully honored. Peyton Spellacy explains.
Yeah, Shelley, Doug, in a new letter to the Attorney General Raul Torres, his office, Balderas, says that his office agreed to hand over its work to the Southern District of New York with the understanding that any New Mexico-related evidence would be sent back once the federal case was over.
Yeah, good luck on that.
And I wanted the current Attorney General and the lawmakers in New Mexico to understand that I really believe the DOJ has let New Mexico down many times, and I wanted to tell my story.
A letter outlining the specifics. Federal prosecutors contacted New Mexico in 2019 asking state investigators to stop interviewing witnesses. In return, they would give New Mexico all of their files when their case was closed, something they never did.
That if it strengthens the state's position, that we should...
It's a whole lot of documents and a whole lot of redactions for somewhere that nothing ever happened at, isn't it? Like, evidence absence is not, absence of evidence is not evidence of absence. Boondocks. Like, literally. And then, dude, it's just, man, I just can't stand them so much. I'm trying not to blast them 24-7. I'll just talk about Michael Tracy because they're all the same. The people that do this stuff, the people that will sell you that Epstein's not a pedophile, it's not important, they call it, you know what they say? They say it's like the satanic panic of the 80s. They say, oh, back then, they said there were demonic rituals going on. A lot of that was probably true when I wasn't it. Looking back retroactively in history. But at the current point right now, we literally found out about all this stuff back in the day during what was called Pizzagate. All right, we found out Julian Assange emails, John Podesta emails, the Obama emails, the hot dogs to be delivered for your pleasure, all of this stuff, the coded language that only pedophiles use about, you know, the cheese pizza, the cheese holders, the grape soda, all of that. The people like Michael Tracy genuinely want you to believe they're talking about food. You know, why do you have to keep 3 bags of beef jerky in the fridge? Why do you have to eat the beef jerky or else you feel like the demons are coming in? That's what the emails say. You can go review the emails for yourself. Epstein, like some sort of demented Professor X, was working with a guy that believed that they could create powers or enhance powers from people that were sexually traumatized to get them to develop psychic abilities. Okay, like these are complete nutballs that are worth billions and billions of dollars. Epstein was on the Trilateral Commission. Okay, Epstein was the controller of Les Wexner, billionaire, all of his money. He had power of attorney over Les Wexner. But Epstein never existed. He's not a pedophile. He's just a creepy guy. He's also certainly not intelligence. It's like the greatest clip ever is Bongino. It's even better than when he does the jump kick, the karate. It's even better than that. It's when he goes, oh, well, Epstein was working for Middle Eastern intelligence. I heard a source talk about it. He was working for some Middle Eastern country. Well, who's that going to be? Sudan, Iran, Iraq? You know, Epstein, agent of Jordan. Perhaps maybe he's an Egyptian spy. What about that? Maybe he lives in a pyramid like Dracula and he rapes kids in there. Oh, wait, it couldn't be Israel. Now, could it? It couldn't be Robert Maxwell, who was buried with honors at the Mount of Olives, right? Ghislaine Maxwell's father. Epstein is connected very close to all these people. Couldn't be Ghislaine. Why is she in prison? Why is Ghislaine in prison? Look at what's she charged with? What's Ghislaine Maxwell charged with? Throw that up right now. Because she shouldn't be in jail, right? If they didn't traffic anybody, he's not a pedophile. Why is she in jail? Why did the Trump administration meet with her? Why'd she get transferred to a cushy, like, club fed prison? Why'd that happen? Eh? It's not like she has blackmail or secret information on anybody now. Is she? No, come on. Nobody pedophile. Shut up. Please give me a break. Stop insulting all of our intelligence collectively. Look at this. Ghislaine Maxwell sentenced to 20 years in prison for conspiring with Jeffrey Epstein to sexually abuse minors, but he's not a pedophile. She's not a pedophile. They're not Mossad. They don't exist. I'm sorry to do it. I know my dad's going to hate me doing it. He literally told me they're nobodies. That's what he told me. He said, they're nobodies. You don't have to talk about them. But it's just the positions are so bad. Andrew Wilson doesn't think Epstein's a pedophile. Throw that up again. Hey, Andrew, I can't wait to see you on Thursday. Go ahead and keep throw this up real quick. Throw it up. Ghislaine Maxwell sentenced to 20 years in prison for conspiring with Epstein to sexually abuse minors, but Epstein's not a pedophile? How's that work, Andrew? What's the genius, logical strategy, logical fallacy there? How do you wizard your way out of that one? You are so screwed. I can't wait for Thursday. Oh my gosh. Okay, let's get back into it. Torres discussed what he described as a DOJ's lack of cooperation during the interview that we just watched. He said, basically, they said they will not be complying with our request to grant access to the unredacted, unrestricted Epstein file. He said the explanation they gave is that the restricted files are covered by, we got a code ODA meant to protect victims' privacy, but there are no victims. Like, dude, I don't have to make an argument. I can just read that to you, but I have to make an argument because some people still don't understand. I'm going to read it again. That is hilarious. I'm going to read that again. He said the explanation they give is that the restricted files are covered by court orders meant to protect victims' privacy, but there are no victims. The victims don't exist. Epstein's not a pedophile. People tweet about this and they act like they're smart. They act like they have like giga brain or something. And then, you know, like they're the master debater. I just, man, good grief. If you're the master debater, why would you take such a horrible position? Absolutely insane. Torres also said there's a growing disconnect between what the DOJ has publicly said about cooperating with the investigation, what it has actually done. He said the same disconnect now extends to the Southern District of New York. Of course, that's where Trump was sued. That's where all the deep state operate out of. That's where cases go to either die or to be like made up, created kangaroo court style. So whenever you see Southern District of New York, you just might as well just throw it out. And this is the thing. It's like, how do we have any justice in our country when we have these key nodes that are controlled and they can just send everything back there? We often hear, oh, the judges, they destroy Trump, the judges. And a lot of that is true. And a lot of those judges are really evil, right? But the same thing is true on the other side. They're all implicated together because they're all protecting the pedophiles. Look at this. Former AG, New York and Southern District of New York struck a deal on Epstein 2019. The federal government never held up its end because who holds them accountable? Nobody. Operation Epstein Fury. That is literally what all of this is. It is all a distraction from the pedophiles that run our very government. I'm going to read this again. This is another quote from him, the attorney general. So what we have is rhetoric coming from the DOJ, rhetoric coming from the Southern District, but no meaningful follow through, Torres said. The bottom line is we cannot move forward at the same speed and urgency that we otherwise would if we just had access to those files and the cooperation of our federal law enforcement partners. Torres' office later issued the following statement in response to Clayton's testimony. Today, under oath, DOJ officials told the Senate they're willing to work with New Mexico to produce these records. We take that statement seriously and expect it to be honored, but verbal assurances are not new. Yeah, they just say they're going to do it and they wait 5 years. And then you ask them to do it again. They say they're going to do it. It's a joke. It's not what people voted for. Literally, Kash Patel and Dan Bongino, I know they didn't campaign directly because they're appointed, right? I'm not retarded, but They did campaign on exposing the deep state, exposing the pedophiles, exposing child trafficking, exposing Epstein. And then you cut to that interview just a few months into the administration where they're sitting there like deer in the headlights, like they got a brain transplant saying Epstein never existed. Go back to that quote real quick. That breach doesn't weaken our position. It strengthens it. New Mexico is entitled to these records and will use every tool available, including litigation, to obtain them. Hey, here's the thing. It's not a big deal that Epstein ordered a giant thing of sulfuric acid to his island compound right before they came and sweeped it. It's not. He was cleaning his pool. Shut up. What do you believe in, a satanic panic? All right. I'm getting mad. I got to get this away from me. Let's go to clip number 15, and this is another lie. This is the estimated cost of the war. Go to clip number 15. It's like 5 seconds long, real quick. So this is in addition to the old clock, and the old clock was $113 billion. Okay, this is the new clock since the latest strikes have begun. Oh, look at that, 21 mil. You know, we just ticked up there. It's pretty cool. Oh, it went down. Save some money. Maybe we dropped a cheaper bomb on them or something. Okay. Keep in mind, these numbers are cooked and not real also because they've blown up our bases. They've blown up our radars. We have expensed thousands of missile interceptors, and we have lost 43 aircraft since this began. 43 aircraft. Did you know that? Did you know we lost 43 aircraft? Have you seen all the destroyed KC-135s, Reaper drones? The F-16, I believe, went down as well. F-16 at the bottom of the Red Sea, for sure, lost to the Houthis in 2025. I bet that's been memory hold from you. Pete Hegseth said the motion of the ocean caused the ship to go overboard. Certainly not emergency evasive action due to a ballistic missile, right? Certainly not. Epstein's not a pedophile, never existed. Certainly not. Like that's the same type of logic we got going on here. But I would estimate, I've interviewed key analysts and people in positions to know, and I've talked to them about this. So I would estimate around another additional $100 to $150 billion that we spent on this war that's not included. So this is just my hypothetical. All right, 23-year-old analyst here. This is my hypothetical. We've spent $113 billion plus $21 billion plus another, we'll just call it $150 billion. How much money is that? Are we over $300 billion yet? Are we close to it? Are we over that for sure? Oh, that's just the Ukraine conflict. Biden did that in 4 years. What Biden did in 4 years, Trump did in like 3 months, or like 2 years. Biden did in 2 years. Trump did in like 4 months. And that's what you voted for somehow. And then if you stand against it and demand accountability and say, hey, I don't want to have a weak coalition of weak sisters of fat, rich old men that are going to co-sign this while the youth of the country dies. And then everyone else that's dumb goes over to the Democrats. Or do we reform our party and in 2026 purge this element from it by saying, hey, Mika, you don't get my vote. You're Israel first. Oh, no, can't do that. My buddy Trump is in a fight. And if my buddy Trump is in a fight, I'm in a fight, too. And that's the logic. It's Christian nationalist city. And they don't even live there. They think they do. They live in the World Jewry city. That's what they serve. They serve Israel, whether they know it or don't. They say, well, Trump is our quarterback. We don't like our quarterback. We love our team. We love the Cowboys. Hell yeah. And that logic doesn't get you anywhere because Trump is an 80-year-old boomer, literally the first year of boomers to be born. That's Donald Trump. And he's not going to be here forever. And the MAGA hat and the red tie and the YMCA dance and all that. I bet there'll be people that try it. I bet there'll be people that try to do that in 2028, 2032. They're going to lose really, really, really bad because Trump destroyed his own brand, lit it on fire. And anybody that co-signs Trump in some effort to save his Republican Party, keep in mind, Trump was given the Ronald Reagan deal to remake the party in his own image. The Republican Party represents Donald Trump right now. It's going to represent Donald Trump in the future unless we stop that. Unless we say, hey, are we the red tie? Are we the spray tan? Are we the impression? Are we the YMCA dance? Or are we constitutional conservatives that care about our country, care about the integrity of our country, and care about getting out of foreign entanglements? Because that is what was promised with the peace president, the no new wars president, the domestic tranquility president, prosperity president, cheap energy president. I can just keep going on and on and on and on. And these people will give you infinite excuses as to why you still have to support the person that's actively raping you up your ass right now. Just because they got raped a long time ago and now they're rich and they don't care. How about we break the cycle? Can we break the cycle, please? How about I get to own a home? How about my friends get to own a home? How about our families get to grow? How about we get to do America like all you rich people did in the 90s? We weren't rich. We struggled and fought very hard. Oh please. Tell me about your 90 grand house. Please, tell me about it. My interest rate was bad. You don't know. You don't understand. I know people that work four jobs and are still dead ass broke. Was that true back in the day? I do not think so. Absolutely not. And the decline of this country comes from ignoring the youth, ignoring the young people, and being part of the greatest wealth transfer in human history. Not talking about COVID, of course, that's the greatest one, but in American history, from the young people to the old people in this country. That is what is going on. I don't own much stock. I don't own a home. I don't have a 401k. I don't have Social Security. I'm never getting Social Security. The country doesn't benefit me. I'm supposed to be the one that provides. I'm supposed to be the one that has kids. I'm supposed to be the one that has a family. How am I supposed to do that when my government's out against me, wants to send me off to war? Oh, nobody's going to draft you. What are you afraid of that? You never go fight anyway. You're damn right, never go fight. I'm going to Mexico. I'm not dying for Israel. They say that like it's some sort of like prideful thing. Like I, as a young person who haven't had kids yet, I'm 23. It's my job to go die for Israel, but they're fat. They're rich. They do debates all day and they're not going to go to war. Like, you advocate for policy that's going to get my ass murdered by Benjamin Netanyahu in an illegal war of aggression, and then you say you're anti-war. And a lot of them do this, by the way. It's just kind of an archetype. The guy, I grew up watching Crowder, man, and to see him sit there on TRT with his double-breasted gun vest, whatever, selling us this vision of MAGA well into 2028 in the future, like, these people are dinosaurs, bro. And all that is going away because it does not serve the youth of the country. Signaling that you serve or support the youth of the country, still doing that when you're actively screwing us does not work because we pay attention. We're in the economy. I'm a business owner of 5 years. I'm an employer. How am I supposed to employ people when consumer sentiment is at an all-time low? Explain that to me because, I have kids. You don't understand, young man. I have kids. You're spoiled. What do? Play Fortnite all day? No, actually, I pay people's rent. I pay people's car insurance. I pay people's, like, literally to exist, to live. I employ people. How am I supposed to do that? Of course, the great viewers, listeners, supporters, 50%off.com, JonesCBD.com. How am I supposed to do that in an environment where you're literally out to kill me? And then it's, you're spurging out. Don't get upset. I'm I can't curse. I'm outraged. I am outraged at what has been done to the youth of this country in service of not even the old. You know what? Boomers get too much hate. The middle-aged as well. I'm sorry. Like what? You're pro-war and you're 50 years old or something. You got to have 30 years of amazing prosperity in your life. And then you want to tell me that I have to go die in Iran? Screw you. F you. Go screw yourself. Sit and spin. Seriously. The attitude towards the youth in this country is so directly oppressive that it pushes people towards the red-green alliance. That's how you get democratic socialists. That's how you get Mamdani. If you on the right don't talk to the youth about prosperity, energy, actual self-actualization, skill acquisition, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness stuff, and you just say, hey, gamble on Polymarket, gamble on Kalshi, gamble on the stock market, work for 30 years, you'll make it big. We ain't going to have a country in 30 years. We just did the whole thing. Literally, it's going to be Somaliland. And then it'll be really fun, right? Because the boomers, they get to check out 5-10 years. Gen X people get to check out, 30, 40 years. Millennials, same thing. Like Zoomers, same thing. We're going to be here for a while, okay? And if we're going to be here for a while, we damn sure better make sure that we're able to do the same things our parents and grandparents did. That's not a lot to ask for. Shouldn't go eat fast food all the time. Shouldn't live in that big city. Should live somewhere smaller and save. All comments from people that dined on cheap credit went all around the world when America was truly Rome and they were under the aegis of protection. All people that got to abuse fast food at ridiculously low prices. All people that got to abuse themselves with no societal pressure, no cell phone to record you. It's literally the most entitled people on earth that want to send all of us off to fight and die. And that's crazy. And to older people in the audience that are wise and understand and get it, I'm not talking to you. You could be 25 years old and be a spiritual neocon. That's really what we're talking about here. But the people that try to claim that they're not neocons when they are, that is the true wolf in sheep's clothing. I really view that even as more disgusting and evil than somebody like Mamdani, because the road to hell is paved with good intentions, and that's what these people do. I'm Rex Jones. I will see you all week. 50%off.com. Rex Jones News with AZ. 50%off.com.
At last, it's here. Bring it into the docking bay. Stack them all in my chambers at once. I now have all the AquaPure Ultimate Water Filter shower heads from the Alex Jones store.
There's something about this water I feel kind of funny. Hey, do you want to hang out tonight?
These stormtroopers are not warriors. They are vessels. We keep them full of chemicals to keep them under control. Like the dark side itself, it dulls the mind. It fractures the will.
Drink your water, troopers. I am sending you to the desert planet of Tatooine. We must crush the rebel force.
Dear, I think I'm gay. Me too. Let's go back to the ship and cuddle. I thought you'd never ask.
Turn around now and get back out there. These are your orders.
They're turning the frogs gay. Don't let them turn you next. Ha ha ha. You have to admit that Alex Jones is funny.
AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.